141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the Scottish football season reaches its conclusion. As Rangers fans continue to make their way back from Seville, attention turns to tomorrow's Scottish Cup final. Hearts are out to make it a trophyless end to a campaign that promised so much for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's side. And the final spot in next season's Premiership goes up for grabs tonight as Inverness hosts St Johnstone in the playoffs. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
This is where Giovanni Van Bronckhorst came in. Rangers against a team from Edinburgh in a cup tie at Hampden. He had to lift his players after Rangers went out to Hibs in the League Cup last December. Now he has to lift them for the Scottish Cup final after losing to Eintracht Frankfurt on Wednesday. But Van Bronckhorst going after his first trophy as Rangers manager, and Robbie Nielsen trying to become the first man to win the cup as a Hearts player and as a Hearts manager. Quite a day, Kenny.
I mean, first and foremost, I'm just glad you're back. I was a bit worried that, I don't know, flight delayed, lost luggage, sunstroke, that you were going to leave the two of us to
Rangers win the Europa League.
Well, then you definitely wouldn't have been back. Yeah, so no, every cloud and all that.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, it was a brilliant 3 or 4 days across in Seville, obviously, despite the obvious. Lads just fell short at that final hurdle. I mean, listen, you have to say the Frankfurt penalties were absolutely sensational, and they've gave a top goalie, Callum McGregor, no chance. But Rangers need to pick themselves up, dust themselves down after what's been an emotional day already. A really, really emotional week, actually. And it's really important to go and lift that trophy tomorrow, and which in a game which I think after Wednesday takes a little bit extra significance.
0141 951 1025. Maybe you're not back, Rangers fans. Maybe you're still in Marrakesh or Istanbul or Dublin or somewhere else, and you can feel free to pick up the phone. Maybe you're not due back till next week, I don't know. But
coming,
let's start
down the side of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Let's start hearing from you if you are back, and you know, the dust is starting to settle. How do you reflect on it all? You know, the trip, the experience, the result, of course. And then it's the Scottish Cup final tomorrow. Straight back to it. How much more important does it become to try and end the season with a bit of silverware? What about the team tomorrow? You know, they mix it up. Guys like Aaron Ramsey, for instance, what a night for him. Does he actually go and start the Scottish Cup final? Alex Lowry, Bastian Sakala, whatever your thoughts are, now's the time to pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025. Hugh, now that the, you know, that initial emotional reaction to it is starting to subside, how do you look back on it?
I look back on it as a tremendous achievement for Rangers to be in a European final. As I said at the start of the programme, when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst came here, he wasn't in charge of Rangers, but he watched the game as Hibs beat Rangers and put them out of the Premier Sports Cup. Now, to have them in a European final a matter of months after that is a tremendous achievement on his part. I would also like to say, in passing, if you sent tens of thousands of people who support any club or who don't like football, if you sent tens of thousands of people to a city and there was no trouble whatsoever and no arrest made, then I have to compliment the Rangers supporters. They have been left saddened by the result. I met a man today in the street who told me just how sad he was about the whole thing. But a cup final tomorrow, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst going for his first trophy as Rangers manager, and I think it'll be quite the occasion. As Kenny said, it'll be an emotional occasion, I think, because Rangers have had everything this week. They've had the European Cup final, the devastating disappointment of the way it ended. They've had Jimmy Bell's funeral today. It's a time of high emotion, but I think it will all be there tomorrow in their favour. I think it will be the catalyst for Rangers tomorrow.
Yeah. Just quickly on that, Kenny, I know you were at the funeral today. Was it a fitting send-off?
It was, yeah. I mean, everybody who spoke had their own stories, you know, of Jimmy and their encounters with him. Big Andy Smiley spoke really, really well. Giovanni himself spoke, I thought, when he left not a dry eye in the house with some of the stories and the wee anecdotes that he had about Jimmy. So yeah, it was an emotional day. I mean, like I said, there was a lot of, I mean, first thoughts when obviously go to the family, you know, his missus, his sons, his daughters, his nieces, nephews and his grandsons, you know, it's such a, it would have been a tough day for them. Like I said, highly emotional, but really highly emotional for the Rangers family as well, you know, and it was definitely a fitting tribute for the wee man.
Yeah, and of course that will be felt, I'm sure. Scottish Cup final tomorrow, as Hugh says. So come on then, Rangers fans, how do you feel looking back on Wednesday, being sandwiched in between that and the cup final? Maybe you're not even home yet, because I know lots of you had stories about your journeys over there, and we had a lot of fun, didn't we, over the last week or so hearing about them. So how's the return journey? Pick up the phone and let us know. The manager, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, has been speaking today about how important it is to pick the players up for tomorrow after Wednesday, including, of course, Aaron Ramsey.
So I had the disappointment of Wednesday's game, the result of it. Of course, Aaron as well. He was very down after the game. Also yesterday still. So we needed to lift him up. We need to lift up every player in the squad. You know, we are focusing now on the final, and we have to take the loss as a team. We have to support each other as the Rangers family, and make sure we are ready for the game tomorrow to play the final against Hearts. But yeah, obviously Aaron is very down, but we are lifting him up. And, you know, he has all my support, all the support of his teammates. And I'm sure he will feel the same support in the stadium tomorrow when the fans will also welcome him and my team.
In relative terms, Kenny, for a guy who's only been up here for a couple of months, you know him, you know Aaron Ramsey relatively well. How will he be feeling? How important is it that the Rangers players can sort of rally around and deal with what happened the other night?
I think obviously him personally, he will feel it more because he's the one that missed the penalty, you know. But the Rangers players as a whole, I mean, they've been through such a journey over the last 3 or 4 months in the knockout stage of Europa League that every one of them will need picked up, you know. But being the guy who obviously missed the crucial kick, yep, I think, I mean, Giovanni's touched on it there. They will need his coaches, his manager, his players. He's big enough as well, you know, he's experienced enough and played in so many big games over his career that I'm sure he'll be looking to tomorrow as a real opportunity. Hopefully he'll be wanting to play, he'll be wanting to go and contribute, and he'll be wanting to help Rangers lift that trophy.
His last game in the Rangers jersey, I mean, there's no way that he'll be there next season. I can't imagine that would be the case. So he will want to go out on a high, and he'll get a civilised reception from the Rangers fans, I've no doubt about that. And it will be one more subplot in a day of subplots.
Right, come on then, let's do it. Let's do that tour of Europe again and find out where everyone is. I know some of you will be back. What about John, who's a Rangers fan? Where are you, John, first and foremost?
Hi, good evening, guys. I'm actually just in Luton Airport. Went to get my flight at 7 o'clock. I travelled from La Manga into Mercia and then Mercia to Luton. So
that's not bad. You're nearly there. You're on the final stretch. How do you look back on it all now, John?
Well, I was at the game. And it was very emotional. The heat was incredible. I remember looking up at one of the bits in the street. It was 42 degrees, about 10 past 6 in the evening. So you can imagine the heat for these guys running about the park and into extra time, because it was absolutely sweltering. You have no idea how hot it was. It was really, really, really warm.
So you think that had an impact on the football match?
I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, but, you know, the guys did look, both teams looked kind of tired on their feet. And the heat, as I said, it's hard to tell, isn't it? I mean, it's got to have some wee bit of an impact, surely, with the heat. I mean, I don't know what it was at that time of night. It must have been at least in the 30s when the guys were playing. I think they had a few water breaks, if I remember right. So yeah, so that was obviously another reason why probably it was so warm for the water breaks. But who knows if it had an impact. It's just absolutely gutted. Never been so gutted in all my life, actually, at a football game, to be honest with you. It was really, I could have actually burst out crying, to be honest with you.
So was that the emotion that came through first, John, rather than, you know, pride at just getting there? Was it still that sheer disappointment at losing it?
I think, to be honest with you, the emotions were running high all day. I said before, you know, the fans were outstanding. I never seen any trouble. Everybody was in great spirits. The fans must have been easy over 100,000 plus And it was just absolutely great. And but the emotions are still running high, to be honest with you. And probably a lot of the Rangers fans that are still travelling home like myself, that this flight's going to be full coming back here for Rangers fans, and we're all sitting about quite deflated looking. I know the bus when we come back to La Manga, from Seville back to La Manga, the bus was jumping going. It was about 30 of us. Everybody was in great spirits. And then coming back, honestly, could have heard a pin drop, and that was throughout the whole bus. So there was a lot of sadness, to be honest with you.
That's natural, Hugh. Yeah. You want to...
It's just a fact of life. This is football, and defeat is a part of it, and deflation that follows defeat is a part of it. But there are only, by my dodgy calculation, 64 hours between the end of the game in Seville and the beginning of the game in Mount Florida tomorrow. And those 64 hours have been difficult for Rangers. Kenny's just told us about Giovanni Van Bronckhorst at Jimmy Bell's funeral today. It's a highly emotional time. But another thing that football does, when the whistle blows at 3 o'clock tomorrow, there's a football match to be won, and people will focus on that. And as I say, I think all that's happened will prove to be a catalyst for Rangers against Hearts.
Kenny, you were there. I'm trying to figure out if these things balance themselves out, because you weren't playing, but you were wearing a suit jacket. So I saw you. I don't know how you felt the heat and what impact it had in the football match.
I'll tell you one, man, I did feel the heat. It was Coyste standing next to me, that's for sure. But no, it was hot. And I think when we were going into the game, you only get the water break if it's over 32 degrees, I think, yeah, at warm up time, mm-hmm, or at the end of warm up, it's something like that. So it was definitely 32 plus. So I think it did impact the game, but it impacted for both teams. Both teams, you could see the tempo had kind of dropped at times, of where there had been real exertion. You've seen there maybe had to be a little bit of game management within it as well, particularly obviously in extra time. So, but it isn't any excuse, because it was the same for both teams. The one thing I would say is Rangers finished super strong. They were pressing and pressing. Obviously, they had the chance with Ryan Kent in the 120th minute, and for him to actually have the energy to make that 40-yard dash to get on the end of the Kamar Roof cross, I mean, that speaks volumes for the boy himself, and he's very unfortunate not to have scored the winner. Steve Davis then follows it up with a wonderful shot with the left foot. It looked like it was going the top corner had it not been deflected. There's no doubt it would have affected them. It was warm, but listen, it was a game of football to go and win. There was so much at stake, and Rangers took it so close, and I can completely understand the deflation for John. Because one thing, yeah, we maybe never felt the heat as much, but I'll tell you, we're mentally drained after the game, and you just thought, I remember when the ball went across and I seen Ryan Kent, I says, this is it, and then Trapp gets across and makes a wonderful save, you know. So yeah, it was an amazing night. Obviously, I thought it could have been Griggs's time. You know, it could have been, he's so good at penalties, but
last game for the club?
Potentially. I wouldn't rule him out staying, to be honest with you. I think it could do once, it could scunner him, because he might think he may never get back there again. He might think it's maybe not a bad way to bow out. On the other hand, it might want to kick him on, and he might make him hungry for more.
I don't think you make a decision like that right now, Kenny. You know, you'll need to wait till his head clears.
He possibly had the decision made already, though.
Well, if that is the case, then that's fine. It's a matter of the club making a public announcement. But if he hasn't made the decision, I wouldn't be making it now. I'd be waiting until I could think properly.
Right, thank you, John. Nice to hear from you. Safe flight back up the road. Robert is on the line. Robert, John there was speaking about devastation and feeling like bursting out crying and all the rest of it. How do you feel at the moment?
Well, we're still heartbroken, to be honest. It's been a roller coaster. The journey here, the amazing day that we spent in Seville, and the build-up to the game, how good the fans were, how good the Spanish were, it made us so welcome. The police were great. It was just an absolutely amazing day. Obviously, the result was disappointing, but you know what? We're so proud to be Rangers supporters and so proud of the team to get where they got. You know, they gave it all. And we were just unfortunate at the end. We just couldn't get it.
Yeah, I think I can hear, you know, a car in the background, Robert. Tell me you're on the way home from Glasgow Airport or something and not somewhere in Central Europe.
Well, we've just passed Le Mans in the south of France. We've got 390 miles to sat nav to get to Eurotunnel. We're booked on the 4 o'clock train, and we should be back in Glasgow for lunchtime just to catch the next final.
Tell me you're not going to Hampden tomorrow.
No, I'm not going to Hampden, no.
Robert doesn't want to go to another football game for 6 months, Hugh. 400 miles away from the Eurotunnel.
Everyone keeps... I heard another caller last night saying that he was passing Le Mans. I'd get off. It's a lovely place.
No, listen, you need to... You're up against the clock at this point. You'll miss kick-off tomorrow at that rate. Look, that's just the dedication, isn't it, Kenny and Robert, speaking about everything about it, the sort of experience, once in a lifetime, maybe, depends how old you are. And then the football match, the sort of main event, if you like, just falling short on the night.
That is, I mean, the fans, we know, like, we were there from Monday, and as obviously as each hour passed, there was more and more hit of the streets, and they were great, you know, absolutely great. They looked like they had a ball. Obviously, everybody was there looking forward to the game. Yeah, it fell short. How some of the routes, what we've been told, how the fans got there is the dedication to actually make that trip. Again, most of them without tickets as well. Was sensational. And again, I've got a couple of friends as well that are on the way back as well. I don't know where they're at the moment. I've been following the journey over Instagram, but it's I don't know quite know where he's at. But again, you can't speak highly enough for the Rangers support over this trip.
Robert, I get the feeling fans are drained ahead of tomorrow's cup final. How do you think the players will feel? How much importance falls on tomorrow?
Do you know what? Probably after today, you know, an emotional day today, the disappointment from Wednesday, I'm hoping they're strong enough to be able to pick themselves back up, you know, and give it all and give Gio a good result on Saturday and kind of just finish the season on a high.
Yeah, that's the... Hugh, you can never speak on behalf of all fans. You know, I hate when people try that on this show, but the impression we get is that, yes, of course, you can be disappointed in the outcome. You can think that certain things were done wrong, whether that is substitutions or selection or bringing Aaron Ramsey on too late, whatever it was. The overall impression, though, is still that sort of, look, pride to get there. And that'll probably be reflected tomorrow, won't it?
Without doubt. You know, Rangers have had a sensational tournament. They've probably helped cost the Borussia Dortmund manager his job today because they've sacked Marco Rose. And what Rangers did to Borussia Dortmund will be one of the reasons why he's now unemployed. They've had tremendous results, tremendous performances. Everyone kept thinking, this will be it. This is a step too far. They'll be a step too far. No, they'll be a step too far. No one, until Eintracht Frankfurt, was a step too far. Again in football, I know it's a massive, gargantuan disappointment, but it's done. They've got the Europa League. Rangers have to focus on getting Giovanni Van Bronckhorst his first trophy as Rangers manager tomorrow.
How tough will it be for the players tomorrow, Kenny? Do you think that does come into the thinking?
No. I think they'll know, and I can only speak for the ones that I know pretty well, that they'll be looking at it tomorrow. It's a cup final. I mean, it's been way, way too long that Rangers have not won the Scottish Cup. I think it's 13 years, 2009. Nacho's goal against Falkirk was the last time they won the Scottish Cup. Not won a major cup since 2011. So it's been way too long. So that the lads will be looking at, yes, absolute disappointment after Wednesday night. But this is such a big game now that Rangers finish with some silverware over the course of this season. It takes me back to the week that Braga in the semi-final against Celtic, where everybody was saying, oh, Gio's this and Gio's that, and we've lost, we're back in the league. This, if we get beat against Braga and then we lose against Celtic, we're going to end up with nothing. Well, they came through that week with flying colours. You know, got through to the semi-final of the Europa League, and they got to the final of the Scottish Cup by beating Celtic, and both in extra time as well. So again, that shows the resilience, the togetherness and the fitness levels of that group of players. So they need to show that again. They need to show it again tomorrow, and they need to go and make sure they lift that trophy.
Right, Robert, I think, what are you, 395 miles away from the Eurotunnel now?
385.
Okay, you're flat. You need to slow down. Behave yourself, Robert. We'll catch you soon. Give us a call when you get back.
All right, cheers,
nice one. Speak to you on Thursday. That was Robert somewhere in France. 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. We're going to take more of them and hear more build up to the Scottish Cup final next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Still on the lookout for you Rangers fans making your way home. Maybe you're back already and you want to share your thoughts on the past couple of days. Please do. It's a big day tomorrow, of course. Scottish Cup final at Hampden. So get your thoughts in. Nathan is a Rangers fan. Nathan, how are you feeling about it all?
To be honest, I'm not crying about it. I'm gutted, but I'm not crying, right? Because at the end of the day, it's great that a Scottish team got to a European final. You look at the budget we've been on. In fact, I don't even think they spent any money in the summer there, and we managed to get to a European final. It's great. It's honestly great, but at the same time, I'd rather have won it, but at least we were there to lose it.
I think both. There's always going to be an element of both, Hugh. I think that's understandable.
I mean, I was on record that I can't remember how long ago as saying that I didn't think I would see a Scottish club in the European final in my lifetime again. But it did happen, and it happened against all expectation, against all odds, given the nature of the opposition that Rangers had to remove from their path in order to get there. So, yeah, it's been a great achievement. But over and done with. Rangers will now have to focus on the future. You can't keep going on about what happened in Seville. You know, you have to move on, and you've got your next match is a cup final, and you have to focus on that.
I mean, the Champions League prize, Kenny, that was what the incentive obviously was on top of just winning a European trophy. It can still be done. You need to go through the qualifiers. So, you know, this is where you start to almost take in what the future looks like now. You know, of course, the disappointment of losing the game, but as Hugh says, right, well, what's next? If it is to be Champions League, do it through the qualifiers. Does this change anything for Alan McGregor, for Conor Goldson, for Stephen Davis? Does it mean that you now can't be quite as aggressive right now because you can't guarantee a player that you're trying to sign group stage football? Yes, you might get it, but you'll need to wait till July to find out. It's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead.
That is, I mean, we heard Ange talk about that, the clarity that it gives Celtic in terms of the recruitment by having the selling point of being in the Champions League group stages. Well, Rangers had the opportunity to have that. Obviously, now it's a completely different route. I mean, it might be harder to actually get through that route than it was to maybe win the Europa League final, you know. So it does probably make a difference to the recruitment in terms of all the names that you mentioned. I would be surprised if decisions are actually not being made on those players, or if those players have made decisions about what they want to do next in their careers. So that's another disappointing factor. Is yes, Champions League can still be achieved, but what would have been in terms of, again, I said that like the pot one is such a big thing in terms of trying to have a bit of success within that Champions League group as well. So it can still be achieved, and getting to the Champions League next year would be the start of the next journey, and it would be a big achievement for the club to do that. But the immediate goal, everything's on tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, so we forget about all that at the moment. Win this cup tomorrow is absolutely paramount.
Yeah, do you think all that, look, it was great, we're proud, it was good to be there, do you think some of that disappears if tomorrow doesn't go to plan?
I'll never take away for the achievement.
Oh, of course not.
Because the achievement's the achievement.
Just the sentiment.
I think now, if there's a season that ends up with no silverware for Rangers, I think it will, people will be looking at think, well, you know what, yeah, it was great to we've got to finals, but we fell short. You know, that's why you say it was incredible, and there was so much optimism and things going, confidence going into the game on Wednesday night, and everything talking about the achievement, which is correct. But see, when you get to a final, for me, the pressure is even bigger, because like Hugh says, nobody expected Rangers to go and do this. But when you get to a final, you want to finish the job. You want to go and lift that trophy. When you don't, there is severe disappointment, and all the journey and all the plaudits you've got probably mean nothing to you. For those players, they've been absolutely devastated to lose that game on Wednesday night. But they need to pick themselves up and make sure they're not feeling the same tomorrow.
Nathan, any hangover tomorrow?
To be honest, I don't think there will be. At least I'm hoping not. I think Gio would have blown back, been like, you know what, we got to a final in Europe. A Scottish club got there. We just need to put that at the back of our minds. Go to Hampden tomorrow. We're a full strength team, and we all know how we've done with a B team. I think it was last weekend when we beat them 3-1. I think we'll go there just energy to try and get silverware, because last season we proved that we can be dominant. We haven't been as dominant this season, but I think tomorrow when we go to Hampden, we just need to be fresh, and I hope Ramsey isn't playing, because if it goes to penalty shootouts, I don't want to see him take a penalty again.
There is that. They were definitely getting into the future or the realms of hypotheticals, Hugh. Maybe the best thing for Aaron Ramsey is to start the game tomorrow. Who knows? How do you think that
only
will work?
Only Aaron Ramsey and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst can know what frame of mind he is in with regard to whether he starts the game, whether he's on the bench.
From the outside, what do you think? Does it put too much of a spotlight on him? Or how?
No. I think he's too big a personality in the game to be overly troubled by that. I think it will be his last game in a Rangers jersey. I think he could handle going on to the park from the start. Obviously, modifications will need to be made because people like Borna Barisic, I think it would be unlikely that he would play given the way he went off the park on Wednesday. But Rangers have won one trophy in 11 years. One. So that has to be the incentive for them tomorrow. You know, that Celtic are the champions and deservedly so. Celtic took the League Cup thanks to Kyogo Furuhashi against Hibs. And now Hearts are going there intent on winning for a variety of reasons. Craig Gordon wants to win his second final as a Hearts player. Robbie Nielsen wants to win the cup for the first time as a Hearts player and manager. That will go into the Hearts record books. There are incentives for Hearts, but Rangers' main incentive, they haven't won the cup for 13 years. They were last in it 6 years ago, and in spite of Kenny's best efforts and Andy Halliday's best efforts that day, they didn't win it. And
I like how you're exonerating the Super Scoreboard pundits. Everybody else can get it in the neck.
Absolutely. I'm not standing beside them. I'm standing beside him. So, you know, there's a big incentive there for Rangers. And the main one being they won one trophy in 11 years. For a club of Rangers size, that's not good enough.
You know, Nathan mentions last week, Kenny, and it's a fair point. It was a second string Rangers team that went there and won. Whether that has any direct bearing or not tomorrow, I wonder about physically versus emotionally. Because physically, Rangers should have enough there if they want to mix it up. Scott Arfield can start the game, Aaron Ramsey could start the game, Lowry could start the game, Diallo could start the game, Kemar Roofe even, who only came on for a couple of minutes the other night. John McLaughlin apparently will usually plays the cup games. So physically, would you expect that to be, you know, reflected in the team? But these guys might still be carrying some of the, you know, the emotional stuff from the other night.
I would expect to see a few changes for the team. You've touched on a few. I mean, Leon Balogun's another one. I think if Barisic is out, I think he's nailed on to play left centre back. Bassey will probably go. I mean, he could play 200 minutes a game. You know that boy. He was absolutely phenomenal on Wednesday night. So yeah, I would expect Scotty to play. Ramsey, I think guys like Lundstrom, Goals and Tavernier, I think they are really important. Ryan Jack again would be in that bracket as well. But where he's at kind of fitness wise after pulling out all the stops to make it for Wednesday night as well. Kemar Roofe again, where is he with his fitness? He definitely would kind of be in a recognised nine. I mean, touching on last week though, I think Rangers finished, was it seven players on the pitch from that kind of B squad. It was incredible. I watched the game, the performance was brilliant. I mean,
do you think Hearts were within themselves knowing potentially sort of the occasion?
I potentially, but it doesn't matter. You still, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Rangers needed to go and perform, and I thought the lad Devine was superb. King obviously playing at left back was, I mean, just a position that he's not that familiar with, but done great. Cole McKinnon, when he came on, I thought he was, I mean, I've watched him quite a bit over the last few months. I thought he was outstanding when he came on. A player that just looks like he does the right things all the time. His goal, that's a season finisher. His goal, and to score on his debut, their dream debut for the boys. So McCann coming on as well, really good player. It's really, really good testament, and like to all the work that the academy's doing. They've got a really, really good group of young players there, and how they move forward with that will be interesting to see.
Did I read earlier this week that Adam Devine is Sidney Devine's grandson?
Is he really?
Gordon Dalziel was delighted with this news because that was obviously one of his favourites.
Yeah,
I'm sure I read that. So I really hope I've not got that wrong. That seems like a
That's
not one you want to make a mistake on. I'm sure I read that somewhere.
But as Kenny touched upon there, you know, to have McCann and Devine and King and Cole McKinnon, Alex Lowry, who's still a teenager as well, it bodes well for the future.
Well, on that, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst did speak today about the squad and giving an update before tomorrow's game. He also was full of praise for Calvin Bassey.
We had a, you know, a tough game also because we played 120 minutes in very difficult circumstances, you know, with the warm. But we had a good recovery today. All players who were involved on Thursday, except Borna, is not available for tomorrow. All the other players who started or were involved in the squad are also available for tomorrow. I was very impressed with his performances. I think Kelvin is playing really well in the last couple of months. I'm really happy for him because it will benefit his development as a player. He's still young, he's 22. You know, he wants to be stronger and better every day. So for me, it's ideal for me to work with him. And of course, I want to work as long as possible with Kelvin. But if you have these performances in Europe, then you will get attention. But I hope to see him for as long as possible in my team.
Let's bring in Gordon, who's a Rangers fan from Ayr, but no one is where they're from at the moment. Are they, Gordon? What's the update?
Just past Scott Stromer, pal. How's it going tonight? You all right?
That's much closer than Le Mans, Hugh. Yeah. We can deal with that. The end is in sight. How are you, Gordon, more importantly?
I obviously a bit deflated. Me and my son were there, my son Jack. We left Monday night and then we got to Seville on Wednesday. Straight after the game on Wednesday, we basically tried to find a taxi. It took us 3 hours to find a taxi, get to the airport, get our van, and we've been on the road ever since.
Wow. Listen, look, I mean, the disappointment, obviously, does it still feel, you know, special to be able to share it with your son and enjoy it, or is the hurt of the football game overtaking that?
Oh, no. Listen, the disappointment's there. We could have won it in 90 minutes. I was saying to the producer when I phoned up, I said, it's basically, everybody's saying Aaron Ramsey missed the penalty and all that, and it's his fault and all that, but I don't blame it. We could have won it in 90 minutes because centre-half is a centre-half goal scene. If in doubt, get it out. Doesn't matter who's behind you or nothing, and Kenny will tell you that because he's a striker. Strikers are always going to head to the front post to try and get that ball. So for Conor Goldson to let that ball go across him is basically a cardinal sin. He should have just launched that into the stadium and then dealt with the corner. But it's the whole situation down there as well, the memories that my son will remember that for the rest of his life. He was 2 years old at Manchester 2008. He kept hearing me talking about it and all the time, and then we got to the final. I says to him, right, that's it, we're going, we're driving. And well, he's like, what? I says, aye, we're driving. So we've done 3,386 mile an hour, we've got an hour 180 mile to go. So it's a good trip.
Oh, relatively speaking, you're nearly there. Kenny, what about that then, the goal that was lost? Gordon's been critical of Conor Goldson's part in it. Fair?
See when the ball goes in between, into that space, you know, it's a danger space. When we looked at it on Wednesday night, I just thought his position, you know what, Conor Goldson's been outstanding over the course of the season, and you know, for me, it has been over the last two or three seasons. Man, it's always been there. Again, a little bit like James Tavernier, gets a little bit stick when things go a little bit wrong for Rangers, but he's always there. He's barely missed a game in his 4 years at Rangers. I just thought for a centre back of his quality, and I think looking back on it now, he would agree, he could have been a yard or two deeper to stop that ball going in there, because Gordon's right, strikers want the ball in there, but centre-backs are aware of that. So they're always, particularly when you've not got a man to mark, you should be really kind of blocking that space there, and that you don't want it, like, because when you're not there to then put something on it, you really, really run the risk of putting it through your own goal, particularly when the ball's coming in with the quality that it was. So, but again, credit has to go to Boris.
Because, you know, I've seen people mention that they think he actually could have cleared it where he was, but you think rather than that, it was just more about the position.
We're talking a yard or two. If he's in that, you see how close he gets. Because when he's facing his own goal now, he's in a real dangerous position to put it past Alan McGregor, because the ball came in with pace, it came low, it was already past him, so he was having to have a swipe at that, and it could have went anywhere. He could have done it, and he could have cleared it, absolutely. He chose not to, for all the reasons that I've just mentioned. Had he been a yard or two deeper, he would have been clearing the facing the other way. He would have had no danger. And that's just the thing. I think looking at it, it was such a good cross. And I think it's actually went through Scott Wright's legs as well. He probably never actually expected.
Could he have stopped it?
He's there. You know, he's there. But it's went through his legs. He's putting his leg up to block it. It goes through the legs. I just think Connor's probably not expecting the ball to go in there, because he can't probably even see it because it was decent. I think Scott was in a good position. I think Tav was also in front of Conor Goldson, so he probably never expected to go in there. But looking back on it, I'm absolutely sure I'm not going to say anything that he doesn't know. He knows the centre back position far better than me, but he'll be looking at that goal and he'll think, had I just took a yard,
yeah,
I'd probably be able to cut that out.
Gordon and Jack, safe trip home.
Cheers, boys. Thank you very much.
Good man. Yeah. Nice to speak to both of you. Let's remind ourselves of this. It is getting to crunch time.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Golden goals. One day to go.
This feels emotional, Hugh. It's like the end of an era. I've spoken about this every single day, twice a day sometimes, since January, and this is it. Super Scoreboard's golden goals ends tomorrow. Do you remember it? Back in January?
Yep.
£1,000.
And now over 36,000.
36,500 pounds to give away. We've been putting money into a jackpot every time Celtic or Rangers have scored since January, and we're now sitting at £36,500 that is going to be won tomorrow. So this is your last chance. Do not put it off any longer. Text GOAL to 61025, GOAL to 61025. It's £2 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close at 6 p.m. tomorrow. So that number can go up. If Rangers go in and score 10 goals in the Scottish Cup final, well, that amount will be a lot higher. So
hope Robbie Nielsen's not listening to you at this point.
It might be 11-10 to Hearts, you never know. But keep your eye on tomorrow. That will dictate how much money we're giving away. But the lines do close tomorrow, so don't leave it too late. Text GOAL to 61025 right now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. There's plenty of time left for you to get your calls in, whether it is on Wednesday night's game, the journey back, the Scottish Cup final tomorrow, or something else entirely. Please do pick up the phone. We would love to hear from you. Let's set the scene a bit more ahead of tomorrow's Cup final and hear from Hearts boss Robbie Nielsen.
It's a great game to be involved in, you know, the rest of the league's all done, everyone's away on their holidays, and we've got this massive game to look forward to and try and go and win a trophy, you know, 90 minutes away from bringing the Scottish Cup home. But we know it's going to be a really tough game and we need to be ready for it, but the players are excited about it. It's been a good season, it's a chance to be a great season. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of teams over the years at Hearts who have finished third, qualified for Europe, got to Cup Finals. There's very few that have actually went on and won it, you know, so we've got an opportunity now to go and do it. And what an opportunity it is. I've had the Scottish Cup final before as a manager, so you know the build up and what's needed to be done. You know, we were so close last time, you know, I hope we can take that next step now. But it's going to be a great occasion, but it's one that we believe that, you know, if we keep prepare the players properly, we've got the quality here to go and win it. You know, it'd be brilliant to bring the cup home, but you know, we get playing against a very, very good team, you know, a team that's in the UEFA Cup final, and we have to be ready and we have to work extremely hard to make sure we give ourselves a chance.
Joseph is a Hearts fan from Kirkintilloch. What do you think about tomorrow, Joseph?
Obviously, I had a bad feeling for a week. So obviously, Rangers have been on a fine run of form. It just so happens that, for my own personal opinion, I think they've kind of turned out serial bottle merchants this season. I'm just hoping to carry that over to Saturday. Obviously, Hearts have got a few injuries coming back. I think Shooter and Halkett, we've been out for a bit, them coming back, maybe have a better chance. I'm just hoping that because of the Europa slip-up on Thursday night there from Rangers, that Hearts can possibly capitalise on that and take their opportunity and go on to win a Scottish Cup, ironically, in the same year that Rangers died, 2012.
Joseph, just come on, he's trying to get all his digs in there, Hugh. It just makes my life a misery, because then Rangers fans will say, why didn't you say this to him, and it's Friday night and there's two shows left to the end of the season, and quite frankly, I don't need the grief.
I would doubt very much if Joseph is a Hearts supporter, but well, I'll give him the dignity of a courteous answer to his question. I think people forget that Hearts are the promoted club this season, so Robbie Nielsen and the Hearts players have done a terrific job on their club's behalf. I think they'll be very much second favourites tomorrow. When Rangers B team, just about, can take care of Hearts at Tynecastle, then it's a psychological blow. But There's a lot in it for Robbie Nielsen tomorrow. What a claim to fame that would be. I won the cup as a Hearts player, I won the cup as Hearts manager. So if they turn up, I don't know what was going on last Saturday at Tynecastle. I don't know what was going through their minds, but they were well beaten. If they turn up as the artist formerly known as Heart of Midlothian and get in about their business, then we'll have a good final.
Don't think Joseph likes Rangers, Kenny. That's the feeling I'm getting so far. How will Hearts be feeling? Because I'm absolutely certain the message will be, we focus on us, we don't worry about them. But you can't have failed to have noticed that Rangers had a fairly taxing few days if you're a Hearts player.
It was the same, going into the semi-final. A lot was made about the 120 minutes on the Thursday night. The same will be made going into this, and it's valid. You know, it absolutely is. It's been a, I mean, travelling alone is can take out of you. To then go and have 120 minutes in heat and penalties, then the travelling back on the Thursday afternoon, training probably later today based on obviously Jimmy's funeral. Everything, Hearts will be looking, think, yeah, we need to be high energy. We'll need to go and start the game. We need to try and impose ourselves on them and hope that all the things we've just mentioned can affect the performance. You know, flip it, it never affected the semi-final performance against Celtic. Mm-hmm. It's a cup final. The game last week will have no bearing on this game. There's no getting away from that. Yes, it was a brilliant performance for the Rangers youngsters, and they were worthy winners, and Hearts were well beat on that day. They were kind of mixing up their own with their changes and getting people back into the team as well. Craig Halkett was back for a bit, John Souter, obviously Andy's came back for his injection as well. So there's that game was used to get these guys minutes as well and get them up to speed for what's a massive game. But it's there's no doubt everything that's went on this week makes it harder for Rangers if they'd had a whole week's preparation like Hearts. But I expect no hangover at all.
I mean, Joseph mentioned Rangers bottle, Hugh, but not sure you can reach a Europa League final without bottle, can you?
No. That was someone intent on coming on and trying to be controversial. Rangers have not bottled anything. They have been beaten by Celtic to the championship, because Celtic took more points off Rangers than Rangers could take off Celtic. So they have no complaint there. They could have no complaint with regard to League Cup. Hibs were simply better on the day and blew them away. But they did get to a European final, and you know, few among us thought we'd ever see that. However, again, they've got one chance to win silverware tomorrow. One chance. Last day of the season. And they have to take it, because it will go beyond being sympathetic. Ah, they had a European final and very little recovery time. That will not be enough on its own, because Rangers have a squad of strength and depth. And Giovanni van Bronckhorst can put out a team tomorrow that can win the cup. But if they don't, there can be no excuses about anything.
What a quick first hour that was.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. This is your penultimate chance to win Beat the Pundit this season. You have tonight or Monday. Don't let it linger all summer. This is a good chance to sign off on a high and win the last remaining signed ball that we have in our possession. We've timed it magnificently. We've only got one left, but you could win it tonight. 0141 951 1025, and the lines do close at 7 o'clock. So your chance to Beat the Pundit is next. Let's hear from you.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. If you missed the first hour, shame on you. Where have you been? We've been looking back, of course, on Wednesday night, hearing from people who are still driving through France, some who are at Luton Airport, some who are at Scotch Corner. We're getting there, yes. We're getting closer. And there is a Scottish Cup final tomorrow as well. So Hearts fans, it would be nice to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And before anything else, we need to do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
These are truly strange times on Beat the Pundit. Gordon DL won a tiebreaker last night. Mm-hmm. He then proceeded to bark like a dog afterwards, which quite frankly has nothing to do with me, but you can hear it on the podcast. It was every bit as disturbing as you can imagine. Now tonight Ian is going to play. Ian, where are you at the moment?
I'm in Villamoura in Portugal.
Lovely. Does this get anything to do with the game, or is this just a holiday?
No, it was partly to do with the game, but didn't quite make it to Seville, so
closer than here. So
sunny weather, so
quite right. You're not daft, honestly, and you've even taken time out your holiday to give us a phone. We are truly humbled. Right, let's toss the coin and see who you're up against. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it's Kenny Miller. And it is tails. It's Kenny up against Ian in Villamoura. Hugh Keevans is relieved. He's a relieved man. So we'll give Kenny some Clyde 2 in his ear, just so that he can't hear what's happening. Ian, it's pretty straightforward, as I'm sure you know. 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay.
Let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who captained Rangers when they last played a Scottish Cup final in 2016?
Lee McCulloch.
Which English side did Scott Sinclair play for last season?
Preston.
Name the only player in the most recent Scotland squad with a Z in their name.
Pass.
Harry Clark is on loan at Hibs from which English Premiership side?
Liverpool.
Name any of the three Scottish Premiership sides who ended the league season with only two red cards. Wow.
Rangers.
And which Scottish Premiership side finished bottom six, finished top of the bottom six in seventh place?
Hibs.
Okay, let's bring back Kenny Miller. Couple of those are tough again. I don't know what's got into you at the end of the season, producer Callum. Right, Kenny, you ready?
Let's do it.
Same set of questions. Let's go. Who captained Rangers when they last played in a Scottish Cup final in 2016?
Lee Walsh.
Which English side did Scott Sinclair play for last season?
Preston North End.
Name the only player in the most recent Scotland squad with a Z in their name.
Pass.
Harry Clark is on loan at Hibs from which English Premiership
Arsenal
side? Name any of the three Scottish Premiership sides who ended the league season with only two red cards.
Ross County.
Which Scottish Premiership side finished top of the bottom six in seventh place?
Livingston.
Okay, okay, okay. What's your feeling on that, Ian? Did you do enough?
I think Kenny horsed me there.
I thought you did alright. I think you've been harsh on yourself. You'll be disappointed with that first one, Ian, won't you?
I think so.
You got the Lee bit right, but then you said McCulloch. It was Lee Wallace. I feel like taking that. I mean, it was as if Kenny wasn't not going to get that.
I'm saying that here. It's
here. Oh, that's what I've been hearing about the Rangers' performance the other night as well, Ian. Now you're blaming that and beat the pundit. Yeah, Lee Wallace, as you well know, Kenny, 1-0. You both got Preston North End for Scott Sinclair, so you're hanging on in there, Ian. 2-1 down. The only player in the recent Scotland squad with a Z in their name.
Xander Clark.
Was Xander Clark. Well done.
Big Z.
2-1. 2-1 to Kenny still. Harry Clark is on loan from Arsenal. 3-1 to Kenny. However, you struck back, Ian. Name any of the three Scottish Premiership sides who ended the league season with only two red cards. You had the choice of Rangers, which Ian got, Celtic, or Dundee United. There we are. Three of the top four. Who were Celtics again? Because we did Rangers recently on the show, and it was Balogun and Kent. Celtics were Beaton and anyway, forget that. I'm off on a tangent here. It doesn't matter. You're right, Ian. Thanks for keeping me right. And who finished top of the bottom six in seventh? It was Livy, I'm afraid, Ian. You could have pegged him back, but it was a 4 for Kenny and a 2 for you, Ian, in Villamoura. If there's one thing that's going to make up for not winning a signed ball by Hugh Keevans, it's being in Villamoura, Ian. So have a good weekend.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Ian. Right.
Good man. Right. There we go. It was Carl Starfelt for anyone who wants to make sure they can sleep easy tonight. There we go. Look at that. That's how popular you two are. People are on their holidays in Portugal and they think 7 o'clock Friday night. I know
time
what I need
do
to
this.
Do.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
time to step up to the plate.
It'd be a bit boring now getting people from this country phoning in.
Yeah, well, there was a night, was it Tuesday night? The night before the game, of all the callers we took, two were in the UK. Everyone else was on their travels to Seville or from or whatever. Well, they wouldn't have been coming back, don't be silly, at that point. Right, I know a lot of people are talking about Seville and Hampden tomorrow, but let's not forget what's happening in just over 40 minutes time, because Inverness take on St Johnstone for the last remaining spot in the top flight. So you Rangers fans, Celtic fans, Motherwell, St Mirren, everyone else who's listening, this is your away day calendar for next season. Is it Perth? Is it Inverness? We'll find out partly tonight and then in the second leg in a few days' time. But Dave Galloway is at the Caledonian Stadium for us. Dave, what a tense night you have in store.
Absolutely, Gordon. I'm really, really looking forward to it. They're expecting a big crowd this evening. There's going to be at least 1,200 fans coming up from St Johnstone. Callum Davidson, the Saints boss, delighted with that turnout. The atmosphere is building. There is definitely something in the air, I'll say that. Like you say, tonight and on Monday night, Inverness and St Johnstone, they've got their own cup finals, don't they, with the huge prize of a place in the Premiership at stake. Cali Thistle going to this first leg, aiming to make history. No side has ever gained promotion, having finished up third in the Championship. Can they come back up after a five-year absence? As for Saints, it's hard to get your head around the fact that this time last year, they were gearing up for a Hampden showdown with Hibs, which they won to complete an incredible cup double. But they're not dwelling on the past. It's all about the here and now for them as they fully focus on their fight for survival. A fascinating double header lies ahead, no doubt about that. To the teams then, Inverness make four changes. Harper, Billy McCann, Hardy and Hyde replace Devine, Sutherland, Chalmers and Samuels. So they will line up with Ridgers in goals across the back, Carson, Broadfoot, Harper and Dees. Two sitters, McAleer and Welsh. Then it's Hyde, Doran and Hardy behind the main man up top, Billy McKay. Substitutes for ICT, it's Cammy McKay, Chalmers, Allardyce, Samuels, Callum McKay and Strachan. As for the Saints, no fewer than six changes for them. They rested a lot of players and they got beaten 4-0 by Hibs in their last regular league game of the season. In come Clark, Brown, Gordon, Davidson, Hendry and Halberg. Out drop Parrish, Mann, Gilmore, Butterfield, Sang and Chiefgee. So it's Clark in goals. Looks like a back three of Cleary, Gordon and McCart. Midfield, Rooney, Halberg, Davidson and Brown, with McPherson playing off the main men, Middleton and Henry up top. Subs for Saints tonight, Parrish, May, O'Halloran, Gilmore, Mann, Chiefgee, Craig, Sang and Butterfield. And your match referee here at the Caledonian Stadium is Bobby Madden.
I love the playoffs, Hugh. It's one of Scottish football's greatest decisions in the last few years. What was it, 2014 we reintroduced them? Yep. And they have been full of drama since then.
And they will be again, because here we have an Inverness Cali side who lost two players to red cards shown by Willie Colum in the last playoff round, and we've got injuries on top of that. But what a story it would be if Kirk Broadfoot was back in the Premiership at the age of 53. Then you've got St Johnstone. What a story that is. The most successful season in the club's history last season, the worst season for decades this season. And the manager, Callum Davidson, the chairman, Stephen Brown, they will understand the enormity of the game tonight and the return on Monday. It's unthinkable they go out of the division.
The recent history, Kenny, just tells you that predicting them is a waste of time. You've seen it all. You've seen that first one. I always go back to it because it was just ridiculous, where Hibs go to Hamilton and win 2-0, and then when it goes back to Easter Road, it goes to penalties, Accies get promoted and stay there for quite some time. Hugh Keevans and I were there, not quite as close as you at Fir Park in 2015, so we won't go over old wounds with you there as much as I would love to. Even then last year, you think, I mean, Dundee, can they really relegate Kilmarnock? And they did. You just never know what they're going to throw up, and they've been brilliant drama.
They have been. And the thing with it is, you've got one team who are gutted they're actually in it. You've got another team who have worked super hard to actually get into this final and get the opportunity to get up. So you've got that. But you know what? That's all just generic talk. You know, it's two teams going at it. There are. I mean, Inverness are decent. I've watched them. I was at their game against, what was the first game against, Partick Thistle, and they look good. They've got some good players. Dodgy's got his team set up pretty well. St Johnstone, like you say, they're off the back of the most successful season the club's ever had, and now they're in a dogfight to actually stay in the league. So too hard to predict. I mean, if I had to say someone, I would have to go for St Johnstone.
You would?
I would go for St Johnstone. But
and what's that What's that based on?
I just think it's off. It's the level that they've been playing at. They have got a good. They've got some decent players as well. I mean, that being said, so over Inverness, I just think if I was to put my neck on the line, mm-hmm. I would go with the Premiership team.
The only reason I'd be hesitant is that they're shocking in front of goal. 38 league matches, 24 mm-hmm. goals, and it's a real bugbear for them. But I have the feeling that whatever Inverness are going to do, they're going to have to do the bulk of the work tonight at their own place.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one. You look at Callum Davidson. We're talking about, you know, manager of the year discussions last week. Last year, why was he overlooked? How utterly bizarre would it be to have spent 2 years at St Johnstone, where you win two trophies and get the team relegated? I don't know if that is a good CV or how would you then even assess that period?
Well, I don't even know. I mean, to win both cups last year and the same player to score the winning goal in the same minute, like, things aligned sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. But they've always been a team, obviously, that have kind of been more than not in the bottom half come the end of the season in the bottom six. When you're in that, you're always, I mean, you leave yourself open if one season to get dragged into that, mm-hmm. into a fight. We've seen it. Hearts get a few seasons back, which you never know to think where Hearts are now,
yep.
that they got relegated a few seasons back. Hibs getting relegated. You know, it happens to big clubs in our own country. It's happened to big clubs down in England as well. So you're never too good to go down, that's for sure. But off the back of last season, I'm not sure any St Johnstone fans or players or anybody involved in the club could have envisaged that they're in this position that they're in now.
I mean, I think, Hugh, what it does as well is it gives you that lifeline. Obviously, that's what a playoff is. I mean, Inverness finished 6 points behind Arbroath. You know, it was uh-huh. Arbroath that were there the full time. They led the league for so long. Then they were close in second, and Inverness just kept plugging away, and now they could be the ones that go up. I don't know if you noticed in League One, the final table, Queen's Park finished 21 points behind Airdrie.
Yeah.
And it's Queen's Park that yeah. got promotion. So it gives you that extra chance.
Yeah, but my gut feeling is that if Inverness are to overcome St Johnstone, they'll need to put down a hefty deposit tonight.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating one. 7:45 kickoff, exactly 30 minutes time. So whatever happens tonight, I'm sure we will talk about it tomorrow when we are on. Let's bring in our next caller now. Producer Callum, my knowledge of names is not great. I was going to say Sharon, but he tells me that's not it, Sharon. It's not. I've not pronounced it properly in the past.
No, you says, well, the last time it was Shannon, and then it was Sharon, and it's Sharon. I've got two R's in my name.
Sharon, there we are. See, it's got two R's, Producer Scott. That's the problem. That's why I got it wrong. My apologies. Anyway, what's your point tonight?
I was on a couple of weeks ago regarding the Hearts and Hibs game, and then against me and my partner, who's a Hearts fan, I'm Rangers. But just to recall on the game on Wednesdays, excuse my voice, I lost it down in Liverpool over the week. But I do feel that when Ruth and Ramsey came on, I think they came on too late. I think that they should have come on the first half of the extra time. They didn't have enough time to, like, obviously have field play. Especially Ramsey, who went on probably cold, didn't get the feel of the game. So Callum went off very disappointed. And I think that, yeah, I think that's what happened. I don't think they had enough field play. When they did come on, it started again, and Rangers got the feel. So I do feel that they didn't have the good field play. Second of all, Rangers against Hearts tomorrow, which is an amazing game. My partner's going to the Hearts final. Unfortunately, I'm at home alone watching it by myself, which will be great because hopefully I'll be celebrating when he comes through the door.
So is he a Hearts fan?
Yeah, Andy's a Hearts fan. He's a Hearts fan. He's going to the game, and if he's looking for somebody to go with, I went, I ain't going with you, mate. Ain't going.
What a mix that is, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. That's going to be a split household tomorrow.
It's a rom com. We've got our first rom com of the programme. So Sharon will get peace to shouting ball at the telly, and her partner will get peace to shouting ball inside Hampden. So I think it'll be a terrific final, because people go into cup finals with their own incentives. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and all the Rangers players just want to get out onto the park. That's where you can be yourself. You've had enough time to bottle it up in private. You can just get out, wait for Willie Colum to blow the whistle, and you've got a football match. And Robbie Nielsen has all the incentive in the world, you know, to bring a major trophy to Tynecastle. It doesn't happen very often. He's known success in this competition in a maroon jersey. And he's in Craig Gordon, he's got player of the year. So you've got arguably Craig Gordon one end. We don't know. For all we know, it might be the emotional farewell for Alan McGregor at the other end, or if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst says, "I've picked John McLaughlin for the cup ties, I can't leave him out on the final." So as I say, it's what a cup final should be. It's full of subplots, intrigue, guessing games, and anything could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think by all accounts John McLaughlin will play tomorrow, Kenny. That seems to be the way it's I think he confirmed it earlier, actually, the Rangers manager. I think he was asked, but anyway, I think, you know, we've known that for a couple of weeks. That was potentially in the pipeline. The first point there about, you know, the penalties the other night, Aaron Ramsey coming on too late, Kamal Roof coming on too late. Obviously the truth is, no one knows if Aaron Ramsey coming on earlier would have helped him score. We just don't know. But is there a risk there? You're a fan of that, you know, bringing someone on to take a penalty just a couple of minutes prior?
Listen, if that's the sole reason that you've brought a player on, again, that's not for me to say. I mean, again, would I do it if it's your best penalty taker? Would you do it? I don't know. Obviously, we've seen it in the past with goalkeepers as well, who are really, really good at saving penalties, apparently. So my only thing on it is, and this is without any knowledge of it, I'll have to say, I'm sure every player, including Aaron Ramsey, was disappointed that they weren't playing. And then as the game develops, every other player seemed to be going on before him. You know, so in
so did that bit surprise you then, that say, well, James Sands went on first or others?
I think so, and others, you know, because I think it was quite a, and listen, the only opinion that matters is Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and that's it. But in the build up to the game, based on the performances that we had seen against Braga, the performances that we had seen him in against Celtic, both at Ibrox and at Hampden as well before he got injured, he's bringing something to that team. There is no doubt about it. Not only the experience that he's got in European games as an international footballer, and is just in general a wonderful player. But I think the general consensus is that if he's fully fit, he actually has to start. Right, he never started, and Giovanni decided to go with the same team that had done brilliant in the home leg and the away leg against Leipzig and got the team to the final. But I felt there was going to be a time that we'd have came on, you know, and enough time to affect the game. So whether that's with half an hour to go to come on and try and win you, or get you back in it, or even give you a bit of composure on the ball to take the sting out of things, I thought that would happen. Then when it got closer to the end of the game, you think, right, it's going to extra time. Right, he's got half an hour now to affect the game. We say that on the night, he's definitely got a part to play. And then it goes to penalties, and he's on 2 minutes before. I think if that had been me, and that set of circumstances were thrown at me, I might not have been in a great headspace to maybe go and take a penalty. You know, so whether he was, and only Aaron and Giovanni will know what went on, and only Gio will know what the reasons behind it were. But I don't think me or other players that I probably know and I've played with would have been in a great headspace coming only 3 minutes to go just to take a penalty when you've seen other players get opportunities to go and affect the game.
Sharon, hopefully you and your partner can get on famously tomorrow night and let football be the real winner. I don't think that's going to happen. But thank you anyway for taking the time tonight. We'll get a full-time teaser for these two next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's set up tonight's full-time teaser, which is a pretty straightforward format. If you've never heard it before, it's you who supplies the questions, and the pundits try to supply the answers between about 7:30 and the end of the show. So thank you to Davey, who sent this one in tonight. Davey says, can you name the last 9 players to score against either Old Firm side in a Scottish Cup final? Can you name the last nine players to score against either Old Firm side in a Scottish Cup final?
So Ginelli.
Well done. Josh Ginelli of Hearts.
In a Scottish Cup final.
Boyce.
Not easy this.
Gray. No.
Yes.
Stokes.
Yep. Both. What did you say, Hugh?
Boys.
Yes, well done. All right, we'll leave it there. That's, you got four of them already. So starting most recently, Liam Boyce, Hearts against Celtic, Josh Ginelli, the same.
Yep.
Anthony Stokes, and see, this is, you see the difference. The Hibs fans call him Sir David Gray.
Yes.
Kenny Miller calls him Gray.
Davey. That's it.
Dave at the most.
The right back. It was the right back.
Anyway, we've got a couple on the board. We'll see how many we get. And your nightly reminder that it's full time at Clyde1.com if you want to submit your questions. So please do. In fact, we're going to need more for next season, so get your thinking caps on over the summer and send some in. Right, let's go back to the phones and hear from Joanne, who is a Rangers fan. Are you nearly home, Joanne? Where are you?
Yeah, so I'm nearly home. So my journey took us from, we flew in last Tuesday to Benidorm, and we drove 6.5 hours down to Seville. And yesterday, 6.5 hours back to Benidorm, and we're literally in Benidorm, just going to go to the Ibrox bar.
I thought you said you were nearly home.
Ah, well, it's nearly home for until Monday.
Ah, right, okay, home from home in Benidorm. So you're going to watch the cup final over there then. How do you feel about tomorrow, you know, sort of looking back on last night, Wednesday night as well?
I think what for me, just being a loyal fan, I just hope that the guys can rally around and obviously bring some sort of silverware home this season. Because, I mean, they've had a phenomenal season, but they've got nothing to show for it. So I hope that they bring some sort of silverware home. And I'm also hoping that Aaron Ramsey gets on the park tomorrow night and every fan gets behind him and gives him a round of applause. It could not have been easy for him.
Yeah, I said that, I think it was last night, Hugh. Look, we'll never do this in football. We just don't, because of tribalism, no. Rivalry. And yes, they're paid well, all that sort of stuff. But just on a purely human level, I wouldn't fancy feeling how Aaron Ramsey must to have felt on Wednesday night.
No, I mean, sleep would have been very hard to come by. But I don't think anyone is going to stage a demonstration against Aaron Ramsey. He may not have had the time at Ibrox that people thought he would. However, he's always done his best. Sometimes your best is not good enough. Tomorrow, Kenny thinks he'll play from the start. What better way to get it all out of your system than to go and have your best game since joining Rangers, because in all probability it'll be your last game. So go out on a high if you can.
Have you spoken to him, Kenny, since?
No. No.
Before the game?
Yeah.
You were telling us during the break that you've got a wee team in mind, something that would sort of, you know, maybe tick a couple of different boxes after Wednesday. We'll run us through it if you don't mind.
Well, John McLaughlin's playing, he'll be in goal. Tavernier will play, Goldson will play, Balogun will play, Bassey will play based on Barisic. I think that back four pretty much would pick itself unless there's a curveball. I think Lundstrom will play, and I think Arfield and Ramsey. I think that's a strong midfield. And I've got a Rebo Roof if he's fully fit and ready to go, and Kent. I think there's guys that have played on Wednesday in terms of Tav, Goldson, Bassey, Lundstrom, and Kent, I think, and Aribo, yep. I think they'll be they're pretty much
so. So half the team, and then half the team changed.
You know,
essentially,
that's just me. Kind of picking a team thing. If you think Ryan Jack had a big fitness push to make sure he was fit, I don't think we've seen him from semi final to final. So again, maybe his fitness might be a little bit of an issue. But when you've got Scott Arfield and Aaron Ramsey that are coming into a midfield for Glenn Kamara and Ryan Jack, it's like for like, you know. So yeah, that's a really, really strong team. That's where, like you say, half and half.
Yeah. Are you worried about any hangover tomorrow, Joanna? And I don't mean you personally, I mean the Rangers team.
My hangover's kind of, it's kind of subsided now. No, do you know what, I don't think so. I think we talk about this hangover that the Rangers might have, but I think also you've got to look back on just before we left for Seville, and we've actually went out with I would probably say a weaker team, and we'll bet them then. So I think that's, they'll look back on that also, and hopefully that gives them a wee bit of hope. But gives us a bit of hope as well. I like Kenny's choice of team, but I would probably take Ramsey away from there, as much as I'd like him to play, and I'd put Lowry back in the middle in there.
Do you mean in terms of when you say take him away, you mean because of, you know, the other night? Do you feel it's too much of a spotlight if he starts the game?
No. I would bring him on. I'd definitely have him there, and I would bring him on. But I think the young boy Lowry needs a chance. I just think he played outstanding against Hearts the week before, and I think he needs. We need to showcase his talents.
Yeah, Rangers definitely. Rangers fans who phone in love this kid, Hugh, and yep. I'm sure most of them would be happy to see him.
You know, he could bring a breath of fresh air. He could bring froth back to the team. It would spook Hearts ever so slightly, because they've got the evidence of last week at the back of their minds. So I'm not sure that he starts, but I'm sure that he gets on the park before the end.
I'm fascinated about last week, because if you are in the Hearts camp, fans, players, management, whatever, you will say last week's got no bearing. That was a one-off. We were within ourselves, and we knew there wasn't a lot at stake in the cup final. And then, you know, Liam Boyce got injured early on, so everyone started sort of taking their foot off the gas. But if you're on the Rangers side of things, you'll say, no, that was a full,
yeah,
so that was a strong Hearts team. We went there with the kids and we won. That is relevant. Do you think last week is relevant tomorrow?
I do.
Yeah.
Up to a point. But when Kenny read out his team there, I thought that team would beat Hearts comfortably. I'm not a fan of bringing back players like John Souter, who's been out for weeks and weeks, and putting him into a cup final and thinking you'll get the real deal, because he's nowhere near match fit for that game. Likewise Halkett. I just think, looking at it, I think there's a groundswell of emotion at the Rangers end of the ground. There's a groundswell of optimism at Hearts end of the ground. I think emotion might trump optimism.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, obviously because of the week, a lot of focus on Rangers and who's ready and who's not, but Hugh makes some fair points. Is John Souter at full speed right now? He can't possibly be. Craig Halkett certainly can't be. Liam Boyce goes off holding his groin 7 days ago. Now, I'm not a physio, wouldn't pretend to, but that sounds like it's at least going to be tight to make it. Although he says, you know, he'll do everything he can. Andy's been obviously in and out and been having his situation
Michael
managed.
Michael Smith, is that another one?
Again, yeah, just coming back.
Yeah, listen,
Cammy Devlin just coming back.
I remember speaking to them at the PFA. Obviously, Andy's a good mate. And he was saying, oh, we'll make it. And Halks was there as well. I know Halks for a long, long time. I will make it. And that's exactly what I thought at that time. That's 4 or 5 starting players that have been absolutely sensational for Hearts over the course of the season. All course wanting to make a comeback and be ready for the cup final. But where exactly are in terms of their fitness? I think the lads that have been out for a while, they have to be a little bit rusty. In terms of Boyce, if he's had any kind of muscle tweak last week, then there's no doubt he's got to be carrying something into this game. So if he's up for selection and on that field to play at 3 o'clock tomorrow, there's no doubt he can't be 100%. So there is that. You've got the fitness issues for the Rangers players, that the freshening up of the team after Wednesday night's exertions. And then you've got the Hearts players. Listen, it's a cup final. You know, I know their mindsets will be, it's the last game of the season, it's a cup final, it's the showpiece event. I want to be playing. I want to put myself up for, make myself available. And after whatever happens afterwards, we can deal with that in the close season. Mm. Any little niggles or injuries we've got 6 weeks to get ready for pre-season. So I get that. But all that being said, being up to 100%, you want to be at the top of your game. And I don't think that some of those players can be fully match fit and ready for this game.
Thank you to Joanne. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff. That was Joanne in, was it Benidorm? Yep. Making our way back to Benidorm. Now Rangers did manage it last weekend, but if they're going to win tomorrow, they'll have to get past this man in the Hearts goal.
It would be right up there, I mean, to, and also being captain, to be the one that goes up the steps to pick up a trophy. You know, personally, I don't think it gets much better than being that captain for any team to go up and lift that trophy. I've had some special times at Hampden. Probably the best one would have been the Invincible Treble final. but to actually be that person that goes and picks up the cup in front of the fans, I think that could top it all.
Well, what a chequered time of it he's had, Craig Gordon at Hampden. Who can forget Craig Gordon playing for Hearts against Celtic? Odson Edouard dinks the ball over him.
Oh, he didn't like that, no, did he?
He takes the ball and tries to put it off Odson Edouard's head, basically. But he is a sensational goalkeeper. He is the Scottish Football Writers Association Player of the Year. He has been magnificent since returning to football after a long, long time out because of injury. He was brilliant for Celtic, and the cup final he touched upon was one more example of that. He'll be a formidable figure opposing Rangers. He could be a one-man wall. So there's another guy with an incentive. He's the captain. He gets to lift the trophy. So another subplot.
Charlie's a Rangers fan on the line. What's your point tonight, Charlie?
Evening, guys.
Hello.
First of all, I just want to say thanks to Kenny. We met him over in Cheville. He stood positive for photographs with the kid. Had a lot of time for the fans. I want to thank Kenny for that.
He's a good man. He is, honestly. He poses. Even Hugh Keevans asked him for pictures first time he came in here, and he was more than happy to oblige.
He charged me, though.
Aye.
So basically, what I was about to say, guys, is I wanted to ask what your thoughts on Conor Goldson, if the rumours are true that he's now going to leave. Do you think he'll be remembered for missing the opportunity to clear that ball, or do you think Rangers fans can look beyond that and see what he's done for the club and maybe not remember the fact that he never tried to clear the ball for that goal?
No man's career is summarised in one game. Goldson has been a terrific signing, has been a terrific player for Rangers. I would imagine that the length of time he's had a contract in front of him offered by Rangers but has chosen not to sign it, I would imagine that means he's off. But you would have to say he was part of a team that got to European final. Yes, he's had a moment in that final that he'd rather forget, but I think if he goes, he'll be remembered fondly.
Yeah, see the moment that we're talking about. It's not a howling mistake. It's not like, by the way, when he actually slipped, and then the lad actually gets the chance to come at it, and then he puts over. I mean, that I think would have been one that would have haunted him, because it was so soon after the mistake that led to Aribo's goal. We're talking a yard or 2 yards, and I know he'll look at, because if it was me, I know I'd be looking, I should have done it, I should have just done it no matter what. But a little bit unsighted, not expecting the cross to actually be whipped in with that type of pace into that area, it's not a howling mistake. So no, his Rangers career will not be defined, he'll not be remembered for that, because it's not a mistake, it's just a yard or two in terms of positional sense. What he will be remembered for is being available every single game, putting himself, his body on the line, being an absolute colossus over the season that the team ended Celtic's long dominance and got 55. And these are things that will never ever be forgotten and can't be taken away from him and the rest of the team that achieved that. So it was, like I said, it's not been a howler, it was just a yard or two in terms of his position at that front area. And again, I'm not saying anything that will no. Being a centre back, that's your job. When the ball's wide, cut that out. It can't go in there. You know how dangerous it is, and Rangers got punished for it. Brilliant for Borre, by the way, because he had to dash across Bassey, and we know how hard it is to get round him and getting ahead of him, but he manages to slide in and get something on it, and it led to a goal.
I mean, do you think the Liverpool fans would have summed up Stevie Gerrard's career at Anfield on the day that he slipped against Chelsea?
Rival fans would.
Yeah, but you know,
and to be fair, as Kenny says, that's a much bigger, more obvious mistake, isn't it, than somebody who'd couldn't quite be in the right area to clear a ball.
It is, that's what I'm saying. It's not a mistake. It isn't a mistake. It's I think.
Well, it is, but it's not a howler.
No, it's not a howler. I think the fans are more like Charlie, and I think the other caller was on earlier, were more that he never tried to clear it. You know, but I'm telling you, like, you ask
you
any
think it's
centre
the position
back,
rather
it's because
than
because he's now facing his own goal, well, and he's worried about an OG.
Why do you ask, Charlie? How will you look back on him? First of all, it will tomorrow be his last game. What do you think, and how will you reflect on him then?
To be honest with you, coming away from the Sevilla, the match showing at the Lac Artuya Stadium, the fans' reaction outside that was totally sort of what I was questioning whether he'd be remembered by it. some of the shouts I heard from guys, get him away, get him away, get him away. Stuff like that, usual stuff. But to be honest with you, I'm disappointed that I'm now thinking of him that way because he's been good for us. But I'm of the sort of opinion that I will always remember Conor Goldson not attempting to clear that ball. And that possibly could have led to his maybe winning or losing that trophy. That's the way I'm feeling, but that's not a serious being a Rangers fan. That's only my own opinion.
Well, if
each
Ryan,
to their own, Hugh. Some people hold a grudge.
Yeah, if Ryan Kent makes a better job of the finish, then the goalkeeper has no chance whatsoever. But Ryan Kent's finish was not as good as it ought to have been.
Where do you sit on that, Kenny? You know, in terms of the balance between what's a bad miss, what's a good save, and how clearly things can be both at the same time.
Yeah, no, they can. Yeah, I was talking earlier with you about one that I had in the Scotland-Holland game where it was save, rebound. I think I'm just putting in the empty net and the keeper comes out of nowhere. After it, it's a brilliant save, but I know I should have scored, you know, and it was a big game. It was a big moment within that game. We went on to lose at 1-0. Ryan Kent broke his neck to get in there in the 120th minute. 40 yards. And see when you see him, how far back he is when Roof's almost about to cross it. For him to get there was an incredible effort. Once he gets there, and I have to credit the defender as well, because the defender tracked it at the same level of intensity as what Ryan Kent was going on to get on the end of it. And I think him sliding in done just enough to put him off. That coupled with the goalkeeper's reaction to get across his goal and just spread himself, because that's all the goalkeeper's doing in that situation. They're trying to just position themselves in front of that ball and spread themselves and make them as big as they can and hope the ball hits them. Unfortunately for Ryan, it actually caught it really, really sweet despite all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it went straight at the goalkeeper and the keeper saved it. Had he scuffed it, it could have went into that corner. Had he sliced it, it could have went into the other corner. And ultimately, he'll look back on it. And I know from experience, he will remember that.
Yeah.
He will remember that moment. And as he's got to score, he'll know that. But he'd done a lot right.
Yeah.
And the keeper made a wonderful save. So you're right, it can be everything at once.
Thank you, Charlie. Quickly on the teaser, any more of the last 9 players to score against an Old Firm team in a Scottish Cup final?
Johnny Hayes.
You've got Boyce, Ginelli, Stokes and Gray.
Johnny Hayes for
yes,
Aberdeen.
Yes, Johnny Hayes. Kenny?
Edwards.
Well remembered. Yes, Ryan Edwards. In the pouring rain, I've always thought that it shouldn't be pouring with rain on Scottish Cup final day, yet it often is, and it probably will be tomorrow. Anyway, right, we'll get the rest of the answers very soon. Let me remind you of this. Now, we really, really are in Last Chance Saloon.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Golden goals. One day to go.
In 24 hours' time, you will be too late, so do not leave it right to the last minute. You need to go and text GOAL to 61025, G-O-A-L to 61025, to be in with a chance of winning at least £36,500 tomorrow. We've been adding money into the kitty every time Celtic or Rangers have scored since January, and we're now sitting at £36,500, but we'll put more money in for every goal Rangers score tomorrow. So it could well rise, and the lines close at 6 p.m. after the game. We will call the winner on Monday night's show, so do not delay. It is £2 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only, and the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Like I say, it does close at 6 p.m. tomorrow, so for your chance to be the winner on Monday, text GOAL to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means it's getting nervy on the full time teaser, but not as nervy as it is in Inverness. It's just kicked off between Inverness and St Johnstone for the chance to be the last remaining team at the top table of Scottish football next season. Hugh, it should be an absolute cracker over the piece.
Yeah, I mean, for Billy Dodds to get them up, having finished in third place in the championship, that's a magnificent achievement for him. For Callum Davidson, he was a hero last season. He'll be an even bigger hero for a slightly different reason, not because he won two cups, but because he kept them up. So it's a huge night.
Kenny, I wonder though, you know, it can be cagey. You wonder, it's two legs, you're not going to win it tonight, but you don't want to feel like you're out of it either.
No, I think what Hugh said earlier is right. I think this is a chance for Inverness to go and win a game. Their home form just came up there. I think it's in the last six games, it's a draw and won the last five. So they're in some really, really good form at home. So this is a real opportunity for them to go and try and put a little bit of daylight between them and St Johnstone before the second leg. But I just think that I'm looking at the St Johnstone team now, and I know Hugh says they've not scored a lot of goals, but what they do have, they have a forward who's in incredible form in Henry. Since February he's got 8 goals. He's only second to Giakoumakis in that period, but that is also the period where he's came into the St Johnstone team. So he's got a goal in him, that's for sure. So I think St Johnstone over the two legs will be too strong.
Well, that's astonishing. Therefore, he's responsible for 33% of all the goals that St Johnstone have scored this season.
Top form he's in.
I think this went back to last season as well, though, didn't it? Even when they were good and they were winning things, I don't think they scored that many goals. And I hope he won't mind me saying, slightly tongue in cheek, when I noticed Callum Davidson on the screen earlier, I'm sure he's a lot greyer than he was last season, which probably tells a story about how this campaign has gone. So there we are. Right, we'll keep an eye on the opening stages of this one. We do have to try and round off the teaser as well, which is, thanks to Davey, the last 9 players to score against either of the Old Firm in the Scottish Cup final. Will Halliday be added to that list tomorrow, Hugh? We never know.
I was watching his goal from 2016 this afternoon. The first man to grab him was Kenny Miller, and it was a sensational goal. But I spoke to Andy.
He'll celebrate this one a bit differently tomorrow, will he not? Because his family will be trying to disown him.
Well, I spoke to Andy for a newspaper piece last weekend, and you know, the most telling thing that he said was that he's 30 years old now, and to his way of thinking, he has never won a meaningful trophy. In other words, a league title, the Scottish Cup, or the Scottish League Cup. And that's what he wants to do tomorrow. Everyone knows he's a Rangers season ticket holder since he was 4 years old. But tomorrow, he's a Hearts employee and he wants to win the Cup.
Us on the outside make far too much of that stuff, Kenny Miller. Remember, we're speaking to a guy, Hugh, that's got a Scottish Cup winner's medal for both sides of Glasgow, for goodness sake. You're going to do your job, Kenny, don't you?
Absolutely, well, and yeah, I mean, Andy said, I mean, what I would say, I know it's not a major honour, but to play his part in getting Rangers back to top flight, he had a big, meaningful part in that, there's no doubt about it. So, listen, I know, and Andy will be fully focused on lifting that trophy. It's as simple as that. And when it comes to it, if he has to kick one of his mates, he'll kick one of his mates.
I've never been given a lift home on a Monday night by a guy who won that Scottish Cup winner's medal on a Saturday.
I think if he wins the Scottish Cup on Saturday, we might not see him on Monday
night. I think I'll be getting the call on Monday afternoon.
I think that's a distinct possibility. Keep your phone on. Right, anyway, the last 9 to score against either of the Old Firm in a Scottish Cup final. You've got Boyce, Ginelli, Edwards, Hayes, Stokes, Sir David Gray, as they call him.
Did Michael Higden do it?
He did not. Unfortunately, the day you're thinking of finished 3-0.
Kingsley.
Yes, well done.
And that next question is, how far back are we going?
Oh, and see, the other time that Motherwell got to the final more recently, Hugh, it was nil that day as well. Right. So, yeah. Well, yeah, we're having to go back a little bit further than what you've got so far.
Are we going back to Queen of the South? The year one?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I don't know who scored, though.
Ah, good. That's just scored. The way I like it. Can't remember?
No.
Well, I'll give you some thinking time between now and the end of the show. See what we can get. Just another reminder, fulltime at Clyde1.com. Inverness have got a corner.
Well, Glenn Middleton had a terrific shot, and the goalkeeper, Ridgers, made a very good save. So St Johnstone are giving this a bit of welly, as they say.
Yeah, off the training ground from the corner for St Johnstone, but it's just not enough on the return pass to Hallberg, which means he can't get enough purchase on the shot, and it's an easy save for Mark Ridgers. I said earlier, you know, it should be a cracker, and I meant the occasion. I'll always do my best to talk up Scottish football, and I love it dearly. But Inverness Arbroath was rubbish, right? It's all right to just say that sometimes. And especially in the playoffs, it's just about getting the job done, isn't it?
Well, I spoke to a couple of St Johnstone players last night, and I described it as a dogfight. And I think no matter any player, coach, manager, or fan involved in this game would take a scrappy 1-0 over the two legs, or like it was in the semi-final, a penalty shootout win if their team either stays up or goes up.
Oh, there's no doubt, you just get this job done at all costs.
Yeah, really, not the remotest interest in the beauty of it all. Just get the job done.
I think is the pressure more on the team that's trying to avoid going down? I mean, you always hear about,
got to be,
if you're St Johnstone, does this mean that, you know, there's going to be cutbacks in the office and for the kit man and the tea lady? You know, these are always the stories that get sort of wheeled out at these times.
You were the greatest team the club had ever had last season, and you'll be one of the worst teams they've ever had this season if you go down. You know, there's no sentiment in football. That's the way it works. You go from the greatest to the most hopeless in the space of months. So the pressure is very much on St Johnstone and far more than on Inverness Carlisle.
Going along with that?
Absolutely, yep. I think it's when you're the team that are potentially going to get relegated, obviously you're under a heavy, heavy pressure. Inverness have had a decent season. Yes, there's pressure because they want to go up. There's no doubt about it. It's a lot of hard work went into this season. This is the last chance they've got, and it's a brilliant opportunity for them to go up. So if they lose, they'll be gutted, you know, because they've put so much into the season. But yeah, the pressure is definitely on the Premiership team.
Right, sorry, I'm not just doing this for sport, honestly. I wonder if 2015 was the one year that maybe flipped because it was Rangers. I mean, the thought of Rangers not, you know, I know there was pressure felt around Motherwell. I could sense it for sure. But do you think maybe the expectation on Rangers,
that's the exception to the rule. Yeah. There's no getting away from it. Rangers going into any game, they should win the game. You know, it's as simple as that. The expectation is there for them to go win the game. And that particular season, it's not any different. What I would say is, we actually finished third in the championship that year.
True, yeah.
You know, it was like, well, we had a really, really bad year. We made it and through, and it proved one step. I think we lost, was it 3-1? We lost the game at Ibrox. You know, so, and it was a late Darren McGregor goal, if I remember correctly, to get it back, to give you a little bit of chance. But, I mean, Motherwell won the game convincingly over the two legs, and that was just, it showed where that team was at that moment, you know. We did, what I would say is about the process to get to there, it's long, you know, when you're going home and away, sure, home and away. Yeah. So it's all geared towards the Premiership team as well. So they've got that in their favour as well, St Johnstone.
Yeah, and thanks to Bilal Mojny for nearly sending Hugh Keevans over the edge. I thought we had lost you that day, I must admit. We're out of time, though. What about the last two on the teaser? We're looking for the last nine to score against Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish Cup final. Boyce, Kingsley, Ginelli, Edwards, all of Hearts, Hayes of Aberdeen, Stokes and Gray of Hibs, and we can't remember the Queen of the South ones, can we?
Was it Stephen Dobie?
No, it wasn't.
I didn't think it was.
You've got the right first name, and I thought
Stephen,
you had it.
Steve.
More widely known.
No, I've gone. Yeah. What is it? Two, oh my goodness. No, I've gone two. Can you recall?
Stephen.
No, Steve.
Steve. Yeah, it's very important.
Steve.
Begins with a T.
Oh, Stevie Tosh.
And the last one. You just like the initials, don't you? Yeah, that's your favourite part of the quiz. JT. May not be the most well known JT in the world, but still had a big say that day. Nah, I'm going to put out your misery.
Aye.
Is he Jim Thompson? Is he known as Jim?
Oh.
I think I saw it as James written down. James, go. Nah. Struggled.
Nah, I was telling that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller, at Scottish Cup final tomorrow. We're live from Hampden at 2 o'clock, so make sure you join us. And of course, GBX Anthems up next.